That's woke for you. Anyway, somebody who would never actually dream of having his characters put bullets in their knees is obviously William Coles. Or would you, William?
No, that sounds very unsavoury.
I would have thought so. No. Listen, you sent me a text. I don't know why, but anyway, I'll say it in any case. Happy belated birthday, Virginia. There we are. I just rolled it out of there, you know, from that sort of point of view. No, nothing else, effectively, William. I've just sort of raised that. If she wants to tune in, she can. That's sorted.
Okay, am I not allowed to bring up the subject of Virginia again?
No, I just have. So, you know, that's the sort of key thing, and we don't want to progress it any further in any way, shape or form at all. Right, moving on. What have you been doing so far in Edinburgh? Is Edinburgh getting all set and ready for that most exciting of all December events, the general election?
Hogmanay we're getting ready for. The general election.
No, don't say any more, please. You know, we can't really, but I just sort of wondered if it was there.
The general election up here is going to be a wipeout. The SNP are going to, they're going to get a lot of seats. They're going to get, I guess, at least 80% of the seats up here. Yeah, it's going to be big.
Yeah, well, there we are. As I say, it's an election-free zone. Let's keep it that way from that point of view.
Oh, right, okay. You mentioned it, not me.
You're right. But now I know where that line is, and I'm not going to step over it, because otherwise there are all sorts of other charges. Beverly is rushing to the studio. She's going to crash into the door at that rate and speed. Could you please open it for her?
I've sorted the door. She
Have you?
In.
Wow. That's very impressive, Eloise.
Yeah.
You literally, physically removed the door just to allow Beverly to get in. So when it comes to Emily or Rory, they could just wait outside and knock and sort of wave at the door. But Beverly obviously has priority. Yeah, that's understandable. I can go with that. Beverly Spencer has now entered the studio. She is, William, you'll be pleased to know, quite literally in the house. In the studio, exactly. She just needs a set of headphones, which I shall provide for her in a matter of moments, whilst you might be thinking about who do you wish to speak to. Would it be Emily? Would it be Beverly? Would it be Rory? Rory McGowan. It's wonderful. Rory. Or, alternatively, sorry, I'm getting into my pantomime sort of phrase there, Rory. Or Eloise.
No, it's Beverly, please. Why is she late?
Exactly.
Where am I late?
Yeah. Just move that microphone closer to yourself, Beverly, otherwise...
It's not as exciting as you probably think. It was...
Well, you better make up a decent reason, then.
Shall I make it up? Oh, don't. No, I had to force quit programmes because they just wouldn't shut down on the computer.
I hate it. Do you know that happened exactly to me? In the end, I just said, right, you've had it, I've done it now, and I completely I took the power off and everything. And I even took its battery out. So it couldn't even sort of do the sort of thing of doing that. I said, no, I'm just going, you know, literally. So
it doesn't matter if the work's saved or not.
It gets to the stage. And you know, this particular laptop, we've been through a lot together, but you know, there comes a time where you just think, look, please. For those of you of a certain generation, you may recall John Cleese getting sufficiently irritated with his car that he actually, in Fawlty Towers, got a piece of a tree and actually started whacking the car. And I was close to that, it has to be said. I was close to that. But I held myself together because I thought, nope, you know, should a student come in to see me for a dissertation meeting now, they might sort of just get the wrong idea. So, you know, birch twig, whacking a computer, thinking, this is some strange...
Or is it the correct idea? That's the way you have to
be. Yes. I think not. I really do. We had hoped we'd actually be having an Eastern European young lady called Ada Ivanov in the studio. No, is the short answer. I think it was because it took her 5 days to get an email to me. I know Vladimir Putin's looking after a lot of things these days.
She tried.
So I'm putting her off till the 18th of December. You know, I figure that's sort of one way forward. She seemed quite excited when she... I mean, I don't know. It's Owen introduced her to me, basically. Which means nothing to the listener. Other than some sort of code, basically. Oh, yes. Owen introduced the Russian to Alex Levchuk. I think, William, you can take hold of the reins once again and talk about pantomimes, because that is where we're heading off to. And obviously, England and Britain, what the hey, has got a long tradition when it comes to the panto of miming. And clearly, it's something that Rory, and Eloise and myself will be heading off to in about an hour and a half for the press night at the Lincoln, a new Theatre Royal Lincoln, to be precise.
And what's your part? Are you Widow Twanky?
No.
I wish.
Whoa. No. We are there as reviewers, I suppose, in many ways, because I have promised the team there that you'll be writing some reviews, Rory, and obviously churning some blogging stuff out, etc. So that's good. Actually, Beverly, if you want to come along and join us, you can. And even, I mean, we could just substitute, basically, because from the original team, it's just you and me, Rory.
Everyone's invited. Yeah, exactly. Let's get everyone on board.
Yay!
That might be a step too far. Anyway, William, when was the last pantomime you took the family to or saw yourself?
We went about 3 years ago, and it's great. Yeah, the kids loved it, and then they got too cool for school and said, "Nah, we don't want to go to panto anymore." But we got some staples up in Scotland, including Grant Stott, who is John Leslie's brother. Anyway, he's always plays the baddie, and he's terrific. And there are a few others, and yeah, it's not bad. We like it.
It's not bad. That's pretty good. Of course, tragically, these days, no place in pantomime for the crankies because of political correctness, apparently. I don't know the whole sort of fandabadozy. Actually, it's quite right. They should be banned from pantomime. I've been trying for that for years, and obviously it's finally happened, which is good. Do you remember the crankies? Have you ever worked with the crankies?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you ever think it was dubious in terms of obviously they were married in
real
life?
Yeah, me and my brother, we did have
bit of a shock, really.
Quite a lot of discussion about that.
I'm surprised. Yes, Rory, the crankies were actually man and wife, not actually sort of father and son.
No, I have no idea who they are.
Well, that's what
Alex,
YouTube's
so
for.
Neither
honestly.
Do I.
You are lucky.
Well, now I'm.
You
now
don't
I'm,
need that image.
Yeah, now I'm yeah. like.
I mean, Rory, you're a second year, you're kind of excused, but, you know, a level three English student has no excuse whatsoever for not
I've got no idea. Absolutely not a clue.
Not knowing who the crankies are. I can almost hear Robin trembling in Wales, you know, either because of the new James Bond trailer or indeed because literally somebody doesn't know who the crankies actually are. It's astounding. And what plans do you have afoot for the next few days, William? I mean, anything in terms of writing that we should know about? Or indeed, are you just gearing up for the excitement of next week when we will be having a live choir around the studio? And we've also got five competitors for the Christmas Song Contest Midweek Drive annual event. We might even have some mince pies in the studio or alternatives.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, exactly.
An
awesome
spice.
Thing. And we'll sort of pass one up to you metaphorically with you, obviously.
Alex, are we the choir?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can take part if you want, etc.
You sound so disappointed by that. I think we should take solace in knowing that we're not doing it and that we have a proper choir coming in to really show.
Why don't you get a studio choir?
We have had one in Pine Times Boss. Look back over Facebook, you'll find that there are lots of sort of studio choirs.
The glass is too expensive. We can't shatter it, you know.
No, Rory, please. You just put that to one side. And in fact, as it has been one of the most unusual telephonic links that we've had for quite some time, well, at least since last week, I think it's fair that people will say, where's Anna Lewis? She was unable to answer her phone because she was at a William Blake exhibition in Tate, I believe.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's the line for that. Who knows what could be happening in the near future. But Eloise, last two questions for William, please.
William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have. Thank you so much for asking.
I'm glad. And will you be joining us again next week?
I certainly will. I mean, we've got a choir to listen to.
That is true.
My life, I've been waiting for you to bring a fairy tale my way. Been living in a fantasy without meaning. It's not okay. You say sent from up above, but you and me never had love. So much more I have to say. Help me find a way. And I wonder if you know how it really feels to be left outside alone when it's cold out here. Well, maybe you should know just how it feels.
that people seem to be finally getting appraised of the fact that there are issues related to the environment which affect all of us. In fact, a recent survey suggests that 81% of folk are actually concerned about the environment, with 62% of those saying that their concern has grown over the last 10 years. Environment, effectively, coming only second only to healthcare in terms of ways forward. At the same time, there's lots of things that remain to be done, that needs to be addressed, and so on. And so we're delighted to welcome to the programme now WWF Director, the wonderful Fanny Calder. How are you, Fanny?
I'm great, thank you. So great to be on this morning.
Yeah, well, we've had a year in which clearly with the fantastic consciousness raising of Greta Thunberg and WWF and all the rest of the bits and pieces, that people are getting aware of this. But let's hope it needs to be more than just a kind of fashion statement. It needs to be something that effectively, you know, we embed into our culture, certainly for the 21st century, if we're going to really sort of thrive, I would have thought.
That's absolutely right. There's so much that needs to be done. We really, over the next 10 years, we need to transform huge amounts about the way that we live, the way that our economy works. And that's why we're really keen to talk about the fact that the public's so concerned now, because we think it's very important that politicians understand this as we head into the general election and as we head towards having the next government, which really, really needs to prioritise these issues in the way that the British public is starting to prioritise them.
The huge reduction in biodiversity is one of the key things that sort of impacted in terms of society here at the University of Lincoln. Certainly one of our guest speakers, Chris Packham, is regularly keen to actually promote the aspects of that. And, of course, the tragedy of the hedgehog. I mean, you know, this is something which, you know, people, we were talking about the demise of the hedgehog back in the 80s and 90s with colleagues, etc. And yet, you know, it does seem as though, you know, they're still under threat.
They're under threat. Their populations have halved in the last 20 years. And that's a sign of the wider problem in this country. Nature is really in freefall here. We're one of the most nature-depleted countries in the world. And it's a tragedy. And it means that the survey that we've just done says that 26% of people in the East Midlands have never seen a hedgehog. And even 29% couldn't even identify a robin. We're just losing the wildlife that we love and that should be surrounding us. And what's crucial about this, it's not just that nature's a beautiful thing that we want to have, it's actually essential for our existence, and it's also a really important part of how we deal with the climate crisis. So the nature crisis and the climate crisis are two halves of the same coin, two sides of the same coin, and we need the next government to really grasp this and to put together some really ambitious legislation and ambitious levels of funding as well, so that we can start putting nature on a path to recovery and leading the world in doing so, which is absolutely crucial because obviously all of these problems are global.
I've raised the issue in the past that in many ways our kind of philosophy of humanity as being stewards of the planet possibly needs to be adhered to, that we're not here to effectively just wreck the place, we're here to actually look after it, and it's just a short time, so we need to work through that process. Are you finding that actually there is amongst people, I mean, we've looked at some of the findings of this particular WWF survey, that, you know, that consciousness shift, that paradigm shift, if you like, that we need to go through is actually happening, or is it unfortunately still too little too late?
I think in terms of overall awareness, there's no doubt that the public is waking up to this. I think what we've got a job to do, and the next government has a job to do, and we want to work in partnership with them, is to really explain to people what this means for people's lives. We need pretty profound changes in the food we eat, in the way that we travel, in the way that we use energy in our houses, and the way that we farm. All of these things need to change, and they need to change fast. I think we can absolutely still thrive in the future. And for me, it's a future full of hope, where we bring nature back, we take on this climate crisis, we create new jobs. But it's a different world. And people, I think we need to start sharing that vision with people more and more so that they can get excited about it. And then they can support governments to take the action that they really need to.
And looking to alternatives, I mean, we talked about obviously travel, and clearly jet industry is needing to actually sort of look at itself from that point of view. We still have situations where obviously, this very week actually, the head of the United Nations actually said how important it was in terms of climate that we actually instantly stopping mining now. Is it something which is achievable, or is it a case of, you know, sometimes you look at the size of the mountain and we think, well, a journey might start with a short step, a thousand miles, etc., etc. But can we do it, Fanny? I mean, what words of inspiration can you provide for us?
Well, my favourite words of inspiration actually come from Greta Thunberg herself. She said we need cathedral thinking, by which she meant that the craftsmen who built cathedrals hundreds of years ago didn't exactly know how they were going to finish their great works, but they laid the foundations and they were ambitious and they were visionary. And I think we need to do that. But also there's good news in that there are success stories already. We know that when we allow nature to recover, that it comes back. We know that when we really decide to change the way we do something, we can. The rise of renewable energy worldwide has been incredibly exciting and has seen prices fall, and it's now the fastest growing type of energy generation. So I think we need many more examples like that, and we need to take this very seriously. We also really need to be thinking about, as a country, the way in which, if we are bold now, we can lead the rest of the world, but also we need to think about our footprint on the world, because it's not just what we do here, it's not just the energy we use here, it's the goods that we import, and particularly the food we import, which currently is very implicated in the deforestation of tropical forests that are so essential for our survival and for wildlife. So it's a big, rich picture of what we need to do, but I think it's exciting, and I do really believe that we can do this.
And finally, Fanny, where can people go to find out further information online and indeed hopefully support the excellent work that WWF are doing?
Well, you can Google our website. It's wwf.org.uk. We are very keen to have supporters of all kinds coming on a journey with us, not just financial supporters. We need to campaign. We need to keep telling the government that this matters. And we need to help people understand what changes they can make in their own lives. All of that information is on our website, and we'd really love to have people's support.
Fanny Calder, WWF Director of Campaigns and Public Affairs, delighted to speak with you today. Hopefully we'll speak again with more positive news in 2020. Happy holidays.
Look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you see, Fanny joined us for much longer than she was allowed in the IRN news, where she got, I think, about 20 seconds. But well done, Fanny. Keep the good work going for WWF Director of Campaigns. And who knows, maybe we'll get a better planet. Won't we, Tessa Snart?
Most definitely. They do brilliant work, WWF. I'm a big fan, actually.
Yeah, I always thought you were more into the wrestling side of things, Tessa, but no, obviously World Wide Wildlife Foundation as well, I know. It's so easily confused in so many ways. We have five fine folk in the studio, Tessa. I don't know if you've been listening to some of the early part of the production, and you might have said, five? Where's the fifth one come from? Well, you know, один, dva, tri, chitiri, yeah, and we're on, one, two, three, four. It's Ada Ivanov has joined us. Ada, welcome to your first ever midweek drive. We'll just move that microphone slightly to you. Now, Ada, last week, for some bizarre reason, I thought you were from Romania, but I believe you're from Russia.
Well, that's because of my last name. My father is actually Russian, but otherwise I was born and raised in Romania.
You see, this is it. Now, I was having a chat with the gentleman who introduced you, Owen Clayton, to me, and I said, Ada, is she a Romanian? No, he said, she's a Russian. I said, a completely different scenario here. So, I mean, I spent the entire week sort of fretting about if she is actually Russian as opposed to Romanian, there could be a whole range of things there. I mean, do I go down the line of Ceausescu? No. Or do I go around other sort? Who knows what could happen? Anyway, Ada, welcome to the Midweek Drive. And
Thank you very much. This is
your first experience of radio in the United Kingdom.
Indeed.
Excellent. And you are currently reading and studying at the University of Lincoln, where you're actually working to do...
Well, I'm studying English literature and creative writing.
Excellent.
And
you see, that's the other reason you're there. English literature and creative writing. And lo and behold, not one, but two fabulous individuals who are also involved with English and creative writing. Isn't that right, Rory?
Yes, yes indeed.
Yes, level two, of course. And, of course, Beverly, also English and creative writing.
Well, journalism.
Oh, right. Okay. Of course. Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you meant English and creative writing as a general thing, not as the actual course.
Now, if I meant it as general, I'd say we'd address that to Kira Allsbrook. Welcome, Kira. Welcome. Exactly. Because Kira shall go to the pantomime. You see, it's all coming together now. You know, the four of us, the team is also... I think you need to get a chair, Kira, unless you'd like to do what our Canadian correspondent in times past has actually done.
Sit on the stool.
Take the stool around, and then you could perch yourself somewhere between Eloise and Emily, which is great. Anyway, we'll let Kira get on with that, because she's moving the studios around, partly because it's punishment for being slightly late, but that's okay. You know, we can work through that, and we will. Tessa, you have got the first magical tune for us, which also mentions the C word in terms of the sort of sequence, etc. But my question is, do you think this is going to go down very well in Romania or indeed in Russia? Because this is ultimately the new audience that we're working through on this basis.
I don't know. I hope so. It's a lovely Christmas ballad. It's acoustic. It's stripped back. So I'm hoping so.
Mm-hmm.
It's by a Northern Irish duo called The Rising, who I've had on my show plenty of times before. They're quite good friends of the show. And, yeah, they've done a reversion of their older Christmas EP. So it's got, I believe, 4 tracks on it. And the track we're going to play for you is on there twice. And they've done, obviously, an additional track, which is acoustic, which is Christmas Brought You Here, which is the one we're going to play for you tonight.
Is this, Tessa, and I appreciate we could be asking you to kind of predict something here, which is unpredictable, but is this in the same league as Ukrainian Cowboy? Because clearly that's where Robin Pierce kind of sets the whole thing through.
Do you know what? I've been thinking of Robin, and to me this one is, because I'm biased and I am quite a fan of the Rising's music in general, but I have got some news for Robin. There could be a Josie Cotton Christmas single coming out, and if I can get my hands on it, I'm going to play it in 1 week.
Do you know, that's almost as much fun as acknowledging that the Crankies might one day refilm. No, perhaps not. Okay, Tessa, the team is now almost complete with 6 people in the studio.
6? Wow.
So, yeah, what's building up for next week and the choir, etc. Would you like to actually do the full formal introduction and then, you know, depending on how long it takes before people actually start talking, so whatever. This could be a winner. Off you go, Tessa.
Okay, so my track of the week for this Wednesday on the Midweek Drive is Christmas Brought You Here by The Rising, and this is the acoustic version.
There'll be no snow this Christmas now that you're gone. There'll be no tree up, no gifts wrapped, I'll be alone. There'll be no snow this Christmas now that we've parted ways. There'll be no happiness, no joy this holiday. But now a star shines bright, and I know I will be alright. 'Cause his love is greater than yours has ever been. Christmas Rejoice.
Okay, let's not mess about in any way, shape, or form. Let's go straight to Emily Boston. What did you make of Christmas Brought You Here?
Okay, so Tessa, every song so far since I've joined the radio, I've really liked, but that one I found quite sad.
Did you? Quite melancholy. It is, isn't it? It's quite slow.
Yeah.
It's a stripped back version of the song anyway.
Yeah, it is good. Just a bit emotional, I think. Emotional ballad.
Mm. Kira was almost in tears, actually. Oh, yeah, that's because she dropped the chair on her foot. It was one of those two things. It's all right, Kira. Don't worry. You know, you shall go to the pantomime. Kira, what did you make of Christmas Brought You Here?
He just reminded me of Michael Bublé, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Okay.
The rising Do Michael Bublé.
It was okay. It was quite depressing, but it was. Okay.
Quite depressing. Yeah. Well, you know, for some of us, Christmas can be a very depressing time. But it's the birth of the good Lord Christ. That's the same. Move on to Rory.
I thought it was good. I thought it was a nice somber song. And there's definitely room for those at Christmas.
Exactly.
You know?
Christmas carols. I always think Good King Wenceslas last looked out on the Feast of Stephen. Quite emotional. You know, that little, you know, it's bring me something. Off he goes. Couldn't see Prince Andrew doing that. He probably wouldn't have the equipment anyway. Well, maybe he would, but then he wouldn't sweat. Beverly, what about your own take on The Rising?
Well, they did create a very warm atmosphere here.
Nice. I see what you did there, and it was quite creative. And Ada, what did you make of The Rising? Do you think that's the sort of thing which might possibly, you know, in Eurovision terms, do Romania enter the Eurovision Song Contest?
Yes.
Yeah, because Russia obviously do, but and Latvia. But what did you make of that particular tune?
It was honestly very nostalgic.
I like that.
Usually any Christmas song is very nostalgic, so
I think that's fantastic.
There we go. He's got a thumbs up from Russia.
Thumbs up from Ida Ivanov. All's great with that world, which is great. And finally, Eloise.
I thought you'd skip me and I was getting quite hurt then. But that's fine. I don't feel it was very Christmassy. As Christmas songs go.
Oh well, there we are. Yeah, we've done it now, so we won't do any. Tessa, would you like to quiz Ada on life and various other bits of music? Because, of course, Robin Pierce, when he joins us in the final part of the programme, has just come back from Romania, where he was actually investigating vampire movies. Now, I appreciate, Ada, you're probably sick and tired, up literally to the back front teeth of having steak jokes and all sorts of other lines about, look, we've got more than Vlad the Impaler in Romania, so I'm not going to go down that line.
I'm sorry, I said Russia. I meant Romania. I went Russia.
Yeah, exactly. It's all right. Our father's from Romania. Russia. So, I mean, my father's from Poland. Do I classify myself as Polish? No, but that's an element.
No, Romania is beautiful.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it seems we had a Christmas track. I mean, what is Christmas like in Romania? And will you be going back there for the Christmas period?
Yes, I'll go back home for about a month. And Christmas in Romania is usually very traditional. Usually there are large family gatherings, like third degree cousins and grandparents, great
third
aunts.
Degree cousins.
Yes, and all of that. And
Take the cousin, you put them in the chair, you say, tell me about your Christmas. Sorry.
Yes.
Doing the cousin your third degree.
Yeah, sometimes tables can get longer than the room itself.
Wow.
Oh,
that sounds like serious entertainment.
Indeed.
Yeah. Oh, we'll find out more about that. Fantastic. Tessa, who would you like to ask you those last two questions, excluding Ada, because it is her first show, and frankly, unless you'd like her to ask her the questions in Romania. I mean, presumably the facility to actually...
Oh, that would be really cool. Maybe she could do a short version.
Okay,
Ada,
in Romanian, would you like to ask Tessa, has she enjoyed the phone link? Or she enjoyed the telephone call in Romanian.
To ask her Romanian?
In Romanian, yes.
Okay. Tessa, ți-a plăcut conversația telefonică?
Genius.
And how would I say?
Don't go any further. Look, we'll do the linguistic subtitles later, please. You know, I thought that was very good indeed. Has it been a good telephone link for you, Tessa? Has it been okay?
It has. I'll have to learn how to say that in Romanian.
And the second question, Rory, is?
Will you be coming back sometime soon, Tessa?
Wonderful.
Hopefully next week with another Christmas tune.
I was very impressed, Rory, with the way you translated that straight away into Bedfordese, you know, without...
It's basically natural at this point.
It was quite phenomenal.
Bedfordese.
We won't, Libby. Don't throw it all away. Anna Lewis, you're back with us. You've managed to escape. Well, partially escape. You're on a transport called the train at present. Is that right?
I am indeed, and about to get off, I dare say. So I think this is Richmond.
You're literally getting off the train at Richmond Station and actually doing a radio link at the same time. This is phenomenal.
Yeah, multitasking.
I'm very impressed. So how was the William Blake exhibition?
It was absolutely amazing. It was quite unexpected because a friend of mine bought a ticket for his sister and she couldn't make it. So it was a last minute decision to go. I was filling in for someone else who should have gone. But it was a very well put together exhibition. Some fantastic things from the Fitzwilliam Museum made it down as well. So it's worth visiting. And I think it finishes on the 2nd of February. So it's worth taking a trek to London to see it.
Well, we're taking a trek to London, not necessarily to see William Blake, but you know, we'll see how things actually manifest for that. Eloise, any questions? Oh, hello. You see these train announcers, they get in at the most inopportune times and they'll continue to do so because that's what they do. It's because they've got the power of the microphone. Nobody can actually understand what they're hearing. In fact, actually, you're hearing, dear listener, at present. Yeah, how's a commuter supposed to understand what the heck he's talking about in any way, shape, or form? I mean, honestly, I'm sure they get trained by some linguistic expert who sort of simply says, "You go in front of the microphone," and you say,
"Nah, nah, 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 nah."
And so it goes. I mean, is that going to help any Romanian tourists who happen to sort of go into London? They'll think, what? It's not good.
It's because there's a strike on and there's lots of disruption.
It's because there's a strike on. That's always the excuse. Anna, you and I know that's the standard way that train announcers actually have operated for years. You know, complete incomprehensiveness, you know.
Well, I'm going into the waiting room, so
yeah.
It's a bit quieter.
I'm in. Yeah, phew, yeah, relax, you know. Because, of course, that's where, when people are actually warm and sitting in the waiting room, will they have any connection with respect to finding out information at all? No, because you don't need it if you're in the waiting room, because they don't have the loudspeakers in there. Well said. Yes. Eloise, any questions you want to put to Anna about stuff?
What are you up to this weekend, Anna?
Good question.
This weekend, I'm actually going to a concert. A friend bought tickets to go to Handel's Messiah at some obscure little church in Acton. Mm-hmm. But these smaller churches, they do have some pretty good little concerts, you know. I was surprised. I went to the Hounslow Philharmonic Orchestra or some such little orchestra, and they were really good. That was surprising. They were a little amateur group, but they... They were good. Their handle should be fun. That's my Saturday evening sorted out.
I think that's and so much better than actually watching something like Strictly. You know, go and see, you know, a bit of German naturalised British music, as Handel would be, basically.
Don't forget to wrap up because it will be cold in that church.
Mm. So that, yes, you know, it'd be interesting to actually see Handel's Water Music done as a rap act. You know, kind of, you know. Going down the Thames. No, maybe not. I'll work on that. Yeah, like that, exactly. Yeah.
Don't encourage her.
It's very true. Kira, would you like to put those last two questions to Anna Lewis? Because after all, you know, she's done very well to actually get to us. When initially we thought we had to move William Coles earlier and then Anna was there because she was leaving. And so it goes. But yeah, I know you can deliver them.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. At least do that. Oh. So Anna, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I certainly have. And wrap up warm too. I hope Lincoln isn't that going to be that bad, but I don't know whether you're worse off than we are.
It's
down
freezing
here,
over here, isn't it? It's horrible.
Yeah.
Will you be joining us again next week?
I'd love to. Thanks for asking.
When you say it's freezing, I mean, I'll just bring in Ada here. I mean, in comparison to winter in Romania, this presumably is like the tropics.
Not exactly, but it's like... late autumn day.
Like a late autumn day. So there we are. I suppose the same attitude, really. But anyway, let's move on. The news will be coming up from the Siren News team in a matter of moments from now, specifically after, the Ting Tings. Excellent. That's what we needed to actually do, and that's what we actually heard, thanks to Harmony and to all sorts of other wonderful things that were actually there. Really, quite literally, 8 minutes of time, which just was quite extraordinary. Rock and roll are the games you play. High flyers see your name in lights. Temporarily social suicide. Oh, don't you tell me it's rough. Seekers, they're on wheel to wheel. This week, break well, next week, who knows? Oh, don't you tell me it's rough. Oh, don't you tell me it's tough. Stop, that's what they call you. How long you waited to get where you want? Stop, that's what you wanted. This week, I shot. Rock and roll, rave and sing in your
Northern Ireland to the Country Show. Probably the best scholar of veterinary science the Midweek Drive has welcomed for many a year.
Yes, she is a star. She's a veterinary star. She's a star of unparalleled starness. And she's going to be on her next location report in London on Friday. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive, Zoe Jameson.
Thank you very much.
Zoe in the studio. Obviously, every week they turn up waiting to see, has Zoe arrived in Lincolnshire? Is she going to be appearing? Is she going to be in here, etc.? Would she bring her giant onion? I don't know. Obviously, it's not your onion. It's just the way things are. But we have six fine folk. Six who are actually there.
I know.
Just in case you're sort of paying attention to this whole thing, we have Beverly Spencer.
Hello.
We have Eloise Sheehan.
Hi.
We have Rory McGowan.
Hello, hello.
We have from Ilkeston, in Derbyshire, no less.
I've got to say that.
And I think it's important because, let's face it, anybody who finds Scottish people arguing quite amusing is part of our sort of
true.
Kira Allsbrook.
Hello.
And from a part of the world which is so cliched, I don't even say it these days, it's Emily Boston.
Hi.
And from Romania, although her father was indeed Russian. Which part of Russia was he from, actually?
He was a Bessarabian Russian.
Ah, all right. Ada Ivanov.
Hello.
There we are, you see. Indeed, the first Russian we've actually met, first Romanian, in fact, we've had on the programme for quite some time. No, I tell a lie, we have had Romanians beforehand, and we will be having Romanians in the future as well.
You tried.
I just realised, no, it's very confusing. Every week, as I'm sure Beverly will attest, I get confused over Lithuania and Latvia when it comes to one of our students.
Well, it starts with L, so.
This is so true. You know,
you're close.
Different lines. Have you ever been to Romania, Zoe?
I can't say I have.
No. Ada, why should Zoe consider making a journey from Northern Ireland or indeed possibly exploring veterinary science in Romania? Why should she go? Why should we go to have a little trip to Romania?
Well, mostly because of the landscapes and of the wildlife that is present in Romania.
That's something Philip Hurd would have said. That is something that a number of other people said. The landscapes, quite phenomenal.
Yes, indeed. We have the greatest mountains ever. Mm. And it's also because we are the country in Europe which has the largest population of brown bears. And it is very impressive.
Yeah. So you see, I know you like your horses, Zoe, and you specialise in terms of veterinary science from that point of view. Actually, all animals, I mean, it's great stuff. But tell me this, at the Royal Veterinary College, do they actually give you much experience with the brown bear, specifically the Romanian brown bear?
No, I can't say I've had much experience with the Romanian brown bear.
Exactly.
You know.
Or that which you've had, we prefer not to think about. But it's at the same time, it's fairly important to actually work through that. Zoe, who would you like to chat to today? You've had the list, they've had the roll call. Who would you like to speak to in terms of, I don't know, some of us are going to pantomime, some aren't, but that's the way things are. I know. Some will have other things to do. I know. It's Robin Hood. It's the way that we work through that basis. Who would you like to speak to? Zoe.
Kira, please.
Straight there. Kira, who actually is on technically the high chair, although she has...
Yes, I'm tall for once.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Yes. And unlike, of course...
I
don't know. I think, that's possibly... Well, we'll make sure that we've got the high chair for you when you actually arrive in Lincoln. Anyway, Kira is all set and ready to go. And as you know, Kira was the one who actually won the award of contributor of the show from Robin with that sparkling, spellbinding performance where she inquired of your good self, is homosexuality a thing with dogs? Which even now, is her dog gay? Was effectively the way you actually sort of thought that. And even
yes,
now,
yes,
even
yeah,
sure.
Yes.
I just come back for more.
Yeah. So, what would you like to put to her this week then, Zoe?
I'm not sure. How is your dog getting on?
Mm.
Well, he's got a new bandana now.
New bandana.
Oh, he's got a new bandana now, and he loves strutting. And he looks himself. He looks at himself in the mirror a lot of the time.
Is he like a canine version of the Village People? You know, in one sort of character. Does he actually sort of every so often bark YMCA or in the Navy? You know, that's all the that's.
I could imagine him doing it. To be fair, no, it's literally he. As soon as he has like a new collar, a new coat, or a bandana.
Sparkling collar.
I want to get him a sparkly collar, but my stepdad doesn't allow it. So, anyway, he has a bandana.
No canine of mine is going to have a sparkling bandana.
He won't take it out because he thinks he just looks a bit weird. But, you know. But anyway, every time he gets a bandana or anything new, we've got this big, you know, full frontal mirror. And he'll, like, go and look at it. And then, you know, you just look at him and he'll just sat there. Just casually strutting and, like, looking and posing. And then as soon as you look at him, go, Zippy, he, like, acts so oblivious and so, like,
he's in the
scared.
Zone. He's in the zone, yeah.
And it's like as if he doesn't want anybody to know that he's actually really vain and he's really...
checking himself out.
Yeah.
I mean, this could be a challenge for canines the world over. I mean, Zoe, would you recommend canines get out of the kennel, you know, to actually sort of explore themselves in their inner sense? Or is it just a case of... I don't know.
He could be bisexual.
Sounds like he's having a lovely time.
Once again, Kira, you sort of take it on a sort of line which is quite frankly amazing. still, so it goes. Beverly, anything you'd like to add?
Well, yes, I have a very vain cat. She thinks she's like the Queen of Sheba and she lies on her side and just looks at herself in the mirror. Mm. And she just turns her head like the queen. Yeah, she's lovely. I think she is the Queen of Sheba, actually.
So, I mean, is it a question, Zoe, of, well, it's quite simply reincarnation, or is there something more to it than that? You know, if you're sort of faced with that as an exam question, because I like to feel as though these weekly phone links with yourself, we help you with the revision as well, you know, as you're working through final year exams from that point of view, and I'm sure there'll be a session somewhere in that exam paper which says, consider this case study. You know, you're faced, Zoe, with a cat that believes it's the Queen of Sheba. What are your first reactions going to be?
I think we just have to let it believe that. That's quite nice, isn't it?
Let it believe.
I do let her believe, actually. I do treat her like a queen. Yeah.
and the breed of cat in question?
She looks... she's not. I just found her. She was a stray, skinny little thing. She's actually Aldrin. Spanish. I found her in Spain and we drove back with the cat.
Right. Right.
So I've got a Spanish. She's got a passport and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But she looked... What's that really expensive breed?
Siamese.
That's it. She when she was tiny and skinny, she did look quite Siamese. But as she's grown and filled out a little bit, she's still got that look about her. But you can tell she's not. I don't know whether it's maybe a mix. Mm. Yeah.
Yep. And do you have a pet at all, Ada?
Yes, I actually.
A family brown bear. Sorry.
I actually have two dogs, and four cats.
Two dogs, four cats.
Wow.
This is good. Could you actually give them their names? What are their names?
Yes, the dogs' names are Bella and Anya.
Mm-hmm.
And the cats' names are Tommy, Mickey from Mickey Mouse.
That's really cute.
Jay and Rosie. Rosie's my favorite, obviously.
You know, I just feel as though once again we've just taken the direction of the program, and whoa, next week's going to be absolutely awesome. The Romanian sort of pets and dogs, and it's just wonderful. Last two questions, please, for ZJ from Eloise.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed, thank you.
And will you be joining us again sometime soon?
Hopefully, very soon.
Yeah, we will see you as part of the Midweek Drive on tour in London this very Friday and then back again next week. It's just going to be awesome. Yay!
Thank you. Very exciting.
Look at what you see in her face, the mirror of your dream. Make believe a memory when given in the light. Written on the pages is the answer to a never-ending
Writer for the world's longest-running magazine of sci-fi, horror and fantasy, host of Piercing the Veil, regular Stone Tapes and Midweek Drive contributor, and the UK's very own Welsh Caped Crusader, tis time for Robin Pierce.
A never-ending story, Robin, it would seem. Do you know,
it is the never-ending story, isn't it? Just like that never-ending intro.
Exactly. Never-ending.
Yeah, that's one of my two favourite songs by that guy. I mean, I like them Too Shy.
Kajagoogoo. Too Shy.
Yeah, Kajagoogoo.
Touch, hush, yeah. Eye to eye.
That's the one. Yeah. Hey, before we go any further.
Yes?
Did I really hear you bark in the Navy earlier on? Or was that like an acid flashback to the 60s? What's going on?
It was true. It happened. It is on recording.
I was sitting here and I was thinking, what's he doing?
Yeah, well, you see, that's what happens. You know, that's just, it's part of the spontaneous nature. And that's one of the reasons why we regularly say, take that, Zoe Ball, and indeed other breakfast presenters and various other folks. You know, just work our way through them. Or indeed Sarah Cox, who's actually, I think, our companion sort of broadcaster. She won't last.
On one of those lesser radio channels,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay, Robin, the floor is now yours. We've got
Hello, six folk
in the studio. Yes, we did that, please. And as I said to Ada last week, I knew we were going to be a good connection because, of course, there is the Romanian connection there.
The Romanian connection, yes. Hello, Ada. How are you?
Hello, I'm great.
How are they treating you?
Well, they're treating me very well. I'm feeling great, actually.
Yeah, they've been showing pet photographs on their telephones. And
are you taking Ada to the pantomime? If so, how on earth are you going to explain the concept?
It's not going to happen. Not this year. She's a first year. Maybe next year, you know, but not this year, okay?
I've never got that concept myself. You know, lead male played by female, lead female played by male.
Look, Robin, please. Thigh slapping. That's all I have to say, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
You know where you are when you've got a decent pair of lederhosen and a bit of thigh slapping.
You need some long over-the-knee boots as well.
Okay.
Your personal fantasy, Beverly. Maybe when you graduate, okay?
Eloise,
yes.
Can you answer me a question, please?
I can.
Can you please reassure me that Alex is not wearing lederhosen tonight?
I will do my best, but I can only see so far with this table.
Okay. You know you can look under the table, right?
No, please. You don't want to do that, honestly.
Oh, there it is.
It's a scary world down there. I have to step away. Step away from the whole thing.
Whoa. Right then, who is the contributor of the week this week? This is the question that everybody wants answered. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah,
and
you can do a little precy of the show if you wish. You know, I know it's earlier than normal, but...
Oh, you know I always do. Mm. I have my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, William Coles. Okay, we were talking about pantomime, and pantomime. I've been to a couple, and I don't know, it's not my thing.
Hmm.
A
bit like Tess's check this week, no doubt, wasn't it?
You know, it's not my thing,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
From then on, we went on to the WWF, and Fanny Calder. I can't remember her ever going up against Hulk Hogan.
No, it's true. It's very true. Or indeed, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Or indeed, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Either of those. Still.
My favourite was always the Macho Man Randy Savage. You know?
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But great work being done. Tessa's tune. Okay. Well, I didn't think that was a country song as such. It's a Christmas song.
Mm.
And unless they're sung by Bing Crosby, Noddy Holder, or Roy Wood, they're always a bit of a downer, really, aren't they?
Mm. Mm.
And this was, you know, it was sad. I mean, you know, people lament at Christmas for some reason.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone.
I thought it was
special.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. I shouted, Kali May, and it burst into flames.
Yeah.
It's better than Feed the World, which is the most irritating song of them all.
What, even with Michael Jackson? Feed the World.
It's the British one.
Do they know it's Christmas?
Do they know it's Christmas?
Mm. It's Christmas time.
Because, you know, they said, and the worst lyrics ever, there won't be snow in Africa this year. Well,
Kilimanjaro, actually.
Kilimanjaro.
Possibly, exactly. But don't go there. Don't be a pedant, Robin. Move on with the production.
At least they're not, you know, having to deal with hypothermia, which I am in Wales. Anne Lewis. Actually reporting from the front line. Like a young Wolf Blitzer there.
Teeny tiny war correspondent, really.
Yeah. But I have to award the contributor of the week this week. Two. Are we ready for this?
Drum roll, please.
Are we braced?
Thumb slapping.
Okay. I'm going with a studio member this week.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please take a bow? Ada Ivanov.
Yay.
For services above and beyond the call of duty in A, coming to Britain, B, listening to all that Brexit nonsense, C, actually managing to hold her own in that manic circus that you run as the midweek drive, Alex Leschuk.
Well, there we are. I thought it was the translation, the instant translation into Romanian of have you had a reasonably interesting telephone chat?
That was impressive. That was impressive. And what a beautiful country.
Yeah. So whereabouts in Romania did you visit? Because obviously it's not like, you know, Clacton-on-Sea. I mean, it's bigger than
I
that.
I was in Bucharest. I spent a day in an abandoned beer factory in Bucharest, about 10 minutes from the hotel, filming an exterior scene for Dampier, the movie, which is based on an Italian comic book, which has run over 300 issues. They'd already been to Transylvania. But you know what? One of the high points of the trip for me, on the flight out from Munich, I was reading, actually, you know, because I'm... You may have noticed I can be a little bit nerdy at times. I hide it well.
Really?
I thought that the appropriate reading material would be Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, yes. Okay? Children of the Night, what sweet music they make.
And I was reading that, and I looked out the window, and there were mountains. And I asked what mountains they were. They were actually the Carpathian Mountains. I was the happiest person on the plane.
Exactly. Yeah. But there aren't any major vampires in Romania, or are there?
Well.
No, are there? Yes.
Major vampires in Romania?
Yes.
The corrupt politicians.
Nice.
This is why Ada gets the award this week.
Exactly.
Because if vampirism was a British scourge, Boris Johnson would be blaming it on the Labour Party.
Exactly. Okay. No more politics, please. Step away from that because we have to go into all sorts of things. But Ada, well done. Congratulations. Will you be back tomorrow morning?
Of course.
Nice. 8 o'clock. You'll be bright there. You'll see sort of some very staggered, haggard images of Kira at the pantomime because I don't know what's going to happen there in a few minutes from now. Emily, last two questions for Robin, please.
Robin, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
Fun as always, Beverly. Fun as always.
That wasn't Beverly.
That was actually Emily.
Emily channeling her inner Beverly there, obviously.
What? Now, when, where, why?
Yeah. And will you be returning to us soon?
It's almost inevitable, isn't it, really? I'm like Thanos. I am inevitable.
That's it. We're out of here. Lots of great music taking you around to the top of the hour. Well, we'll have the news and then I think another Siren Cinema programme. Thanks certainly to Anna Lewis, to William Coles, to Tessa Snart, to Fanny Calder, Zoe Jameson, and of course Robin Pearce. And in the studio to Eloise, to Rory, to Kira, to Beverly, to Emily, and to Ada. And thank you, dear listener. Keep on keeping on. Can we all say Happy December? One, two, three.
Happy December! December. Till the end!